Hello, Wanderlusters. Welcome back to another episode of Adventures of a Nomad Dancer. This is Sophia Faye, and I'm going to be your host for this. I don't know why I just said that. That was kind of weird. But I changed my Instagram handle once again. I always change my Instagram handle. I don't know why, but just like how I am, it just kind of changes all the time. So my dance Instagram handle is still Dance with Zosha, and then my traveler one used to be Sophia the Wanderluster, Wander with an A, Sophia with a PH, but now it is nomad.sophia, and I kind of like it a little bit better just because it's shorter, but if you guys think that maybe there's a better name that suits me, just let me know and we'll maybe take a poll or something to see if people would like something else better. Anyway, so in this episode, I was supposed to talk about my DC trip and go backwards from there. By the way, my last episode was like an hour and I'm so sorry for that. These are only probably supposed to be up to 30 minutes, but the last time I tried to record an episode all together, it actually closed the app as I was about to finish. So I started recording in tiny sections. And then, so I'll do maybe tiny sections of 5 to 7 minutes. And then I'll kind of forget. So I should have had 2 separate episodes for that last one. But it was already an episode that was being broken up into 2. And maybe I should check my scripts before posting these. It's fine, whatever. Anyway, so I was supposed to talk about my DC trip and then go backwards from there, but this time I'm actually going to talk about the toxicity in dance culture that we don't tend to talk about, and I'm probably going to get canceled way early, but I think it's kind of important to talk about toxicity in dance culture. And like, there's toxic people in every culture because that's just part of life and human existence, which sucks, but the fact that we don't talk about it and then the people who do are called some sort of racist white term, but the fact that we don't talk about it, it can actually become worse. And I personally believe that in dance, especially as females, but females and males, whatever, we're supposed to help each other rise up together. And I understand why the toxicity happens. I just don't understand why it has to control and negatively impact us instead of challenging us in a good way. And then that trying to be like, everybody just tries to be a harder worker and a better person and just like find something else, because there are so many people in this world that just because there's so few that maybe like fit what the vendor wants, then there's somebody else who's going to want you. Anyway, so yeah, let's get into this. I'm probably going to sound like the bad guy from this, but for me, I've been listening to this British girl. And ever since I started listening to her, I was like starting to understand where my attitude comes from. Because if I don't like somebody, I'm not going to pretend like I do, because that just takes way too much energy that I don't have time for. And for other people, maybe people will like them more for that. Maybe they'll get hired more for that. But those people are being disingenuous. I don't know. They're not being genuine. There we go. To their own feelings and the emotions, and some of them have actually come up to me and told me like, I wish I was more like you and real about my feelings. And I would be like, I kind of wish I was like you. Like, I wish I was a little bit nicer and friendlier, business friendly, I guess. And like, I feel like there sometimes is a difference between business friendly and then just fake, you know? So, and I cannot be fake. I went through a time where I was a very fake person because I had to be for work. And because of that, I actually got hurt a lot more in the end because I didn't really stand up for myself. I was a people pleaser, but also I was business friendly. And the combination of that is just kind of dangerous. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I need to learn how to be a little bit more business friendly. I don't know. So, whatever. I guess this is just another way for me to have an outlet for me to be able to talk about these things because we won't talk about it face to face with people. But this way, I can just get it all out and, like, I don't know. If you don't like it, you don't have to continue listening. Anyway, so let me tell you my story of the dark side of dance, and why I kind of came to this conclusion as to, like, I don't want to be fake anymore. And then I'll tell you why toxicity even exists in dance culture and probably in culture in general, but I just know dance wise why it exists. And then I'm also going to talk about how to get over your own toxicity if you don't realize that you are toxic, or even if you do realize it sometimes, because I know I can be toxic sometimes, and some people out there, they don't care, or they don't know, or they can't change it because they're very narcissistic. And then there's other people who really want to try to change it, and I think those people who are actually trying are doing a little bit of a better job than those who don't even try at all. Or maybe the people who don't try just don't care. I don't know. I also want to talk about how not to be afraid to stand up for yourself. And because the people who are creating toxic environments, they just make everybody whisper behind them and it's not cool and they become a bully. And maybe sometimes they don't realize they're being a bully, or maybe they do and again, they don't care. All right, so grab yourself a drink of your choice if you have not already. I'm probably gonna just grab some water or some tea for the night. And yeah, let's get this adventure started. Okay, so first of all, let me tell you my story of dance. You pretty much know everything, or if you don't, I've already said a bunch of this stuff already, and I don't want to repeat my entire history. So you can go back to previous episodes where I do discuss my entire story of how I came into dance. But I wasn't very good as a baby dancer. But then again, who was? I took a couple classes with a local dance teacher, and she was great. And I was with her troupe for a few years. However, there was a lot of clickiness from some of the girls who had been there maybe a year or two. And I think that if I wasn't already in other dance companies, and if this was the only sort of way for me to have a hobby, I probably would have left. But because I had other dance friends, I was able to have other outlets of being able to dance. Since there was a point where I was in maybe four different companies, different dance companies of different dance styles. But right now, I am mostly within the belly dance world and the fusion world, and slowly getting into the pyro world, which is fire dancing. So, back at my old troupe, and a lot of troupes have this of the clickiness of the people who had been there for a while and then the new people. And I was always the one who would try and sit in the middle because I didn't want to get in the way of everyone. I just wanted everyone to, have fun because that's why we were there. It wasn't that serious. And if it was more serious, those people should probably go to like a serious dance school. I don't know. Anyway, clickiness of girls who had been in a troupe. There were always the housewives. Some of them can't travel because they have families, they have jobs, whatever. And so they're usually split between the super friendly ones who may be outsiders, or they're such insiders that they're so comfortable with themselves, which I love all of those ones. And then they're the ones who think that they're the shit and make sure that everybody knows it and make even like the really good ones or potential dancers or potential good dancers, they'll make them feel like outcasts until they leave. And it's almost like I call it the secret firing of the dance community, where it's like they'll try and just make you want to quit instead of like flat out firing you, and then having to deal with consequences afterward. So I had been part of this troop for years, and I was just waiting to get into the like professional performance troop, because there's always like the core dancers and like the pre-professionals, and then there's the professionals. And then so towards the end of this, I was still in just the core, and maybe I would have a solo here or there or whatever, but I was beginning to be really on and off about being committed to it, because I was sick of just being a core dancer. Sorry, let me turn off my sound. Anyway, I was sick of just being in the background and not really being able to like shine, or just like only could do it once in a while. And I didn't understand why I didn't really get that chance of becoming part of the professional troupe. And I think that's, I don't know, my attitude probably started a little bit before, because I was in all these other troops, so I didn't always have time to go to all the classes. Or there was a time when I was both in an African dance company and a belly dance company, and it almost seemed like they tried to fight for me to perform in different things. But I feel like a lot of their shows weren't together. Like, I would have some shows during the week, some during the weekend. But maybe that's probably where it all kind of started, where I started to just, you know, want to walk off and maybe do something else. So after a while, I was just kind of sick and tired of like doing this runaround game of trying to get into the troupe and, or getting into the professional troupe and not ever getting it. So I eventually just left. And when I left the city. And I began studying with other dancers, and then I just moved to another city where one of them was, and from there I began to follow my own journey, because I didn't have anyone else. So I just did what I knew. I did the dances, the dance style that I was taught, and then this other dance teacher, I would do her dance style. And then after that, I got the one dance teacher left dance, so I didn't have anybody, so I actually just like went to YouTube, and that's when I became a much better dancer. But there were still some places where I was not up to par, because I didn't know about certain techniques, like understanding the wall and the planes and all of that. It took me a very long time for me to understand that. And that's just like for anybody, when it finally clicks in your head, oh, that's what that means, now I can start implementing that in my dance. And for me, because I didn't have any other teachers really all the time who could see me face to face. And then also the pandemic happened, so I really didn't have any teachers to work with face to face. It took me a very long time to understand the planes. And I feel like that most people would probably pick that up within the first few years, but I left within my first few years, so I didn't know I was doing anything wrong because nobody really told me. So anyway, I got to this other city. I met other dancers from the city. And then since I was already alone at several points, a couple of them wanted to do collaborations with me. So just like duets with me. And then we would travel all around the city, all around the state. And then we would even start going outside of my state and just, you know, hitching rides with each other. And I thought I had a really good family from that. And then I ended up joining another troupe, which we kind of wanted to be, if you've ever heard of Zoe Jakes and Beats Antique, we almost wanted to be like a part of that, like sort of like that troupe in a way, where we would have the music live and the music was kind of curated to the dance style. I don't remember because it was so long ago, but we had ideas of how this could work. And then the musician was a guy, and he almost seemed like he started to run this entire troupe. And we were all like, this is supposed to be a dance troupe, and then the musicians just helping us. But because of that, there was some toxicity because the guy wanted to rule, or the guy wanted to take control of like what we were doing. And we were like, well, this is our dance style. We're not gonna do this just because you want us to. And I was the first one who really started saying that. And then I ended up just leaving because I felt like he wasn't listening to me and I felt like nobody was on my side. So I just left. And then I had found out from another dancer that he was talking shit about me. And I was like, that sucks because I feel like this could have potentially been a really amazing thing. But because of his attitude clashing with my attitude, I couldn't take it. And for me, it's not that I'm sensitive. It's just I don't want to do something I don't want to do. And then a little while after I left, apparently he had run out another dancer and she doesn't even want to dance at all. And I don't know if that's still true, but that's what I have heard from the last time that I talked with her. And then a little while after that, he ran out the last dancer and then it was just like him and his girlfriend, who was one of the dancers, and like she and I were close. All the women were close. And then this was one of the reasons why a bunch of us, we just kind of split and stopped talking to each other. So, yeah, so that's kind of why I don't really work with other people because there's always somebody who wants to be on top. And for me, it's like, yeah, I understand that. I do, because sometimes you just want to be seen, but there are different ways of getting yourself seen without having to control everybody around you. You need to learn how to compromise, especially if you're working with other people. And you need to learn that when you're part of a troupe, you are part of a team and you are not like the peak. You know, even if you're like the soloist of this entire piece, you are not better than everybody. And so I hate it when people like think that they are, and then it just makes everybody else uncomfortable and makes everybody want to turn away from it. And it kind of sucks because we need to stick together because there's not a lot of dancers. There are tons and tons of dancers, but at the same time, this specific style of dance, there's not a lot of those kinds of dancers. And we need to help each other rather than shutting it completely down, because I had to do that with a couple other people from my last city. We had to actually shut down a nonprofit because of the toxicity from older generational of dancers. Did that make sense? But the older generations, they were telling us we were doing it wrong, and we were like, why don't you come into the 21st century? This is how things are being run because you voted for us. And because they decided against us and we were the board, we were like, all right, we cannot do this. We do not agree with this. We're going to shut this down. And we did. And it sucks when that happens. It really does. So, other than stuff like that, there are more reasons why toxicity and dance culture happens. So, there's also the idea of competition versus collaboration, like just what I said. No, you shouldn't see yourself as better than each other unless you're maybe in a competition of dance, you know? But even then, I feel like it's hard because sometimes there's money involved, and that's when it gets a little bit more dangerous and the competition gets heated. And that is not my style of dance. But when it comes to being on stage as like a soloist and then going up and doing your thing and then seeing another dancer who does their thing and then like maybe they get more claps than you, then you, instead of wanting to be like wanting to talk to them and be friends with them, they just get jealous and mean. And then they start competing against this one. And then a lot of toxicity happens from that. So a lot of dancers who are in competition with each other, they do get it because one of them has a strength somewhere and the other one may not. And then you'll see this literally everywhere for your entire life. There's always going to be jealousy. There's always going to be competition. But if that's not something that you want, then start to learn how to collaborate with other dancers. And I'll talk about that in the future. So sometimes there seems to be so few venues that offer anything for dancers. like period, for dancers period. So when an opportunity arises, dancers will fight for that job sometimes. And then the one who doesn't get it is going to resent the other one who does. And that's more toxicity that gets involved with dance, because not all venues are gonna want all types of dancers. So this is actually my next point, is that sometimes vendors and venues, they really want a certain kind of look, and that could start that resentment between dancers. It could literally be nothing else except one was chosen over the other because they fit a look that the venue was looking for. Even if it's something as the color of their hair or the color of their skin, and like that really, it sucks, but that's just how life is, and it's going to be like that for the rest of your life. So instead of hating somebody else for their body type because and they got that job because of their body type, because of their dance style, look for other venues that will take your dance style, that will take your dance body. You know, it's honestly as simple as that. There's never, well, not, I don't know if we're gonna say never, but there's rarely ever gonna be a time when nobody in an entire area is gonna want you. Then just go find it somewhere else. So this brings me to my point that this opportunity, if you don't get this opportunity, then it wasn't for you. It's a door closing. So go find another open door. Find something else. There's always something else. So, and like, honestly, if you find a good other venue, maybe you fit the look that that other person won't, but you won't know unless you try. So just face it, you are not going to be the perfect dancer for every single venue. No matter how beautiful you are, no matter how well you dance, sometimes it's just not meant to be. There are always going to be more beautiful dancers than you. There's going to be more gorgeous people than you. You just have to find the place that wants you for you, instead of you trying to make yourself into a fake person to try and fit that venue. Unless you're a complete jerk, don't do that. Okay. So this leads us into my next point. How to get over your own toxicity. So first of all, you need to realize that dance is a journey, and not everyone is going to get to the top. But you certainly won't get any closer to your goals if you're going to stay jealous and mean and never work on yourself and then just think that you're always the shit, like all the time. Because that's also not how it works. So I was actually listening to a podcast where this girl says, yeah, you may be the prettiest where you are. You may be the best where you are. And that's great to present yourself as being like being confident without being egotistical. But then when you go out into the rest of the world, you're not going to be anything unless you're a legitimate celebrity or a well-known model. Unless your name is actually known by the entire world, nobody is going to know who you are when you go out there. So instead of just trying to say that you're the top, instead of being jealous because maybe other people are better than you in some way, just learn to be humbled that you got the opportunity that you wanted, or whatever opportunity that you get, just be humbled by that. Because the next one, maybe you won't get it. And then also just like present yourself with the gifts that you have. Because if you try and be better than somebody and then you realize that you're not, and then you turn out to be like a shitty person, then nobody's gonna want to be around you. And yeah, so anyway, present yourself as best you can. Try not to go over the top, but also understand your boundaries, because this was something that I really, really got to me a few months ago, was that there was somebody who was just always over the top, to a point where it seemed like no one was gonna stop them, but they just didn't understand boundaries. And it got to a point, and I was trying to be nice. I was so nice up until this point. And then my boundaries really got stepped over, and I snapped. I would have been fine if this person, a few more days, and I would have been fine. But because this person made me snap, I didn't want to have anything to do with that ever again. And to be honest, if I never see him again, good. Like, because I don't want to have that talk. But they will have that talk with somebody someday. Or maybe they won't, and they'll just be the same person that they are. So that's kind of how to get over your own toxicity. Stay humbled. Know that, like, you're never gonna be the best. But you can just try to be the best that you can, and someone's gonna love you. There's billions of people out in the world. There's gonna be somebody who's gonna love you. So I also want to talk about how not to be afraid to stand up for yourself. So I actually have this friend who's being bullied by another dancer in their community, and this dancer is unfortunately pretty known for being a bully. And nobody is stopping this either because they don't want to be seen as somebody who stops drama, or they know that it's not their problem or something, so they're not going to stop it. They're not going to tell the other teachers or whatever. I don't really know the extent of what's going on, but I don't like bullies, and then this person knows that I don't like them, so they don't talk to me at all, or they'll talk to my friends in front of me, and I literally don't care, and I'll just stand there and smile. Because it just takes too much energy to give to people that I don't care about. So you gotta tell them to stop. You gotta tell them that their behavior is toxic, and maybe being around other people might help, or maybe talking to them alone might help. And if they're still being toxic, or if they're being worse, talk to a teacher that you trust, or talk to somebody that you trust that maybe will help you talk to this person. I don't know why it always has to seem like a negative thing to tell people what they're doing is wrong. But I guess it starts to go where that person will start telling lies to make you seem like you're the bad person. And then everybody, instead of asking you if this is true, because maybe they don't know you as well, they'll just believe this other person. And it really sucks. But, I think we eventually find the people who want to have us around. And it'll take a while. Sometimes for me, it took me a really long time, and I honestly almost left dance. And then, because I had already paid for something, I was able to come back out of it, and I was able to talk to people who helped me, my people who helped me to find out who I really am, and people who already know who they are, who already have a sense of who they are as a person, as a human, as a dancer, and they know that they're confident, and they're not egotistical. They're legitimately there to help. I found one of those people, and I found a few of those people actually, and it helped me to come back into my dance. And I'm still going on a little bit of a journey, but I also wanted to talk about this because it keeps coming up. Especially within the last few months, people have been really toxic and negative, and maybe it's just because I'm dealing more with the dance community, and especially like the professional dance community, and I'm getting closer and closer to actually becoming, like, hopefully someday soon-ish, I'll begin to know names of other dancers who are kind of known in my community. And I think that'd be really cool. So another thing that I want to say before I stop this podcast, because we're coming up on 30 minutes, I want to try and get out maybe a vision board or a way to create a vision board, either on like YouTube or whatever. I might just do a podcast about it because there's so many on YouTube, and it's just something I want to get out. But I think people just need to learn how to dream bigger. And that's a part of learning to get out of that toxicity. When you're really focused on you and yourself as a dancer and stop focusing on how everybody else is better than you. And I'll talk about the time when I realized this. But when you start to really delve deeply into your own talents and your own dreams and really focus on that, you can get whatever you want. So dream bigger and just focus on that dream. Make a vision board, and we'll talk about that next time. Or DC or whatever. We'll figure it out. Anyway, thanks for hanging with me, guys. Like, subscribe if you enjoyed. Let me know. Send me a DM. Find me on Instagram at what is it now? Nomad.sophia. I'm also on Threads and Dance with Zosia, Zosia on Instagram and on YouTube. So follow my dance stuff. I will post more content about how to get through the dance world and how to just live the best life that you can. All right. Bye, guys.